This is Alex Peace of the States Gazette with Dan Batterton, fund manager at BTR at Legal & General, who's just completed on the acquisition of their first scheme down in Bath for 171 homes. Dan, thanks very much for joining me. The purchase is a really good move into a city with a very strong rental market. I mean, what's Legal & General achieved so far? You've built up quite a lot now.
Yeah, well, we settled on our long-term investment strategy around 18 months ago. And the word to emphasise there is long-term, that we're trying to maintain just an obsessive focus on long-term income generation for our investors. And it's been quite liberating not having to have a short-term focus and just challenging every aspect of the investment process by saying, is that the right thing to do over the long term? But what we've really achieved is, well, we've achieved significant firepower. So we've got a war chest of about £1 billion. And we need large-scale investment because we think large-scale regeneration delivers more efficient running. It reduces our competition in the market. And to deliver the quality of product that we want, we need to build at scale. So critically, we had to secure a lot of money. Over the last 18 months as well, we've acquired four schemes. And those four schemes will deliver over 1,000 new homes. So that includes Bath that you mentioned. We've got two forward fundings in Salford and Bath, and two where we're the developer in Bristol and Walthamstow. So our strategy is that we're actually agnostic as to whether we're a funder or a developer. The most important thing is that we get the best site in the cities that we go to. So we will fund the third party if we need to. We will be the developer, but referring back to that long-term objective of the best long-term decision. And I think our immediate focus now is on operational strategy. So phase one of our first scheme in Salford completes in May. So we receive 90 keys on the 2nd of May for the Slate Yard in Salford. Marketing commences in the next couple of weeks, which is very exciting. And so we've been busy designing what our customer offer is and trying to challenge the existing status quo. We're looking at what we can offer as a long-term investor, as an investor at scale, what we can offer to potential customers that the existing market can't. So longer leases, more flexibility, but also trying to move away from an obsession with rent for our residents and try and gain an obsession with living costs. So rent being just one element of that, but how can we use our scale to reduce our residents' living costs, whether it's by bulk buying, Wi-Fi, providing cars, all sorts of different aspects that we can just make living in our buildings more affordable, and therefore there's just a deeper potential customer base for us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been a lot of policy changes around build-to-rent over the last 18 months, and particularly in the last 6 months. How has your strategy changed in light of sort of recommendations in the London Supplementary Planning Guidance and then the Housing White Paper?
Yeah, the white paper won a few weeks ago. It's not a revolution. It's, I think, probably the first steps along a long road to make lots of incremental improvements rather than any single big improvement. I think the groundbreaker for us there is that it's the first time we've seen government really recognise BTR as a sector, that we exist, that we play an important part in delivering the new homes. I personally don't think now housing market's broken. House builders deliver 150 to 200,000 homes a year. That's what their business model delivers. But what the white paper recognises is we need new business models that will deliver more homes. So we need net new supply from new business models, and build to rent is one of them. So to have a Conservative government recognise that home ownership isn't the be-all and end-all is hugely helpful. But through all of the policy changes, one thing that we don't need more of, there's plenty of demand. So there's lots of equity chasing investment, there's plenty of demand, but we need help on the supply side. So both the SPG and the Housing White Paper talk about SIL, talk about Section 106, affordable housing provisions. All of these affect the viability of schemes. Many schemes are simply unviable because of the policies that sit around them. And all of this links into the planning process. And so I think the outcome from both the SPG and the white paper is, I think the onus has shifted back to us and the development industry to put together a cohesive response and to make government's decision-making process simple by making a clear argument as to how changes in different aspects of the wider planning process can enable us to increase supply and just build more homes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very interesting. Dan, thank you very much for your time.
No problem.